all we have is because of what Christ did at Calvary. Well, praise his name this morning. As we continue to prepare for the Easter season and worshiping Christ for Easter, Dave started for us the sermon series this Lent season, Grace from the Cross, as he talked about Father, forgive them. And we want to continue that thought line of grace from the cross, the man beside him. Grace is an amazing thing. In fact, we often sing about it, that beloved hymn, Amazing Grace, and many other songs have been penned about grace. And not only do we often sing about it, but we often talk a lot about this thing of grace and how gracious our God is. However, the question today isn't, are we singing about grace or are we talking about grace, but are we experiencing grace? Two very different things. It's good to sing about it and it's good to talk about it, but I want you to know this morning, it's so much better to experience it than it is even to sing about it or talk about it. And so this morning, even from the start, I would ask, are you experiencing God's grace? Because we are going to talk about an individual today who experienced God's grace. Because of the cross and all that happened there, we, you and I, and every other individual have access to grace. Grace from the cross. And so in our scripture today, Jesus shifts his focus from the crowd around him to the man beside him. And Luke's gospel records this moment of grace for us. And so I want to encourage us to take our Bibles this morning and let's turn over to Luke this morning, Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at verses 39 through 43 this morning as Luke records for us this moment of grace from the cross. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. The Word shares with us, Luke 23, 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, today we are so thankful for grace. The grace that the cross brings into our life. Salvation from sin. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you do in and through us. But Lord, as we come to your word this morning, and we take a little different look at grace, we ask that you would just come in a mighty way, that you would stir our heart and you would stir our mind. And Lord, we would be challenged and moved today because of grace, because of all that you have done for us. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would move upon us this morning. You would allow us to preach your word with power and with authority under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we understand this thing of grace and what unfolded between Jesus and the thief on the cross in new light. We ask in your precious name and amen. Well, we want to take a few moments this morning and share with you with this concept of grace from the cross in regard to the man beside Jesus. And this man beside Jesus is a very interesting scenario, and we understand there's a conversation that unfolds between Jesus and this thief, as he's referred to on the cross. And so three things this morning I'd like for us to consider in regard to this moment that Luke records for us. And the first thing I want us to consider this morning is the thief on the cross. What you'll discover is we don't know much about this thief that's being crucified with Jesus. Truth is, we know very little. We have little to no historical data in regard to this person that is being crucified with Christ. Scripture doesn't give us much information other than he's being crucified with Christ. He's referred to as a thief. Truth is, we don't even know his name. Never mentioned. Even all the historical documents that surround the crucifixion of Christ, we know very little to nothing, not even the name. He may have been a horrible criminal and did horrible things. Or maybe not. What the Romans considered horrible and criminal may not necessarily have been horrible and criminal at this time period, but we do find in Scripture that he says that we are receiving basically our just dues for what we have done. And so we assume that he was a thief, a criminal of some sort. And that's about all we know about the thief on the cross. Except for the one thing we do know is Jesus was interested in him. In fact, they have a conversation. Isn't that interesting? Even in the final words of Jesus at the moment in which he was being crucified and dying on the cross of Calvary, he has a conversation with the thief, the criminal, at his side. Isn't that interesting? I think that's profound. It says a lot about who Jesus is and why he came and all that. And I think we understand that, boy, this was a moment of grace. Grace from the cross. Now that we still know little to nothing about the thief on the cross, I want us to recognize, though, something we do see that unfolds is that very thief in whom Jesus has this conversation with somewhere, somehow, changed. And so we understand that the thief on the cross next to Jesus changed. Something happened in him. The reason we know that is because if you look at Matthew's account of the crucifixion, Matthew records that both of the thieves at one point mocked him. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 27, 44 that shares with us, even the robbers who were crucified with him rivaled him with the same thing. And that same thing was the fact that the people who'd gather around said, you know, this is Jesus, the Son of God. You know, he can save others. Can he save himself? And they made fun of him. And Matthew says the robbers on either side of him did the very same thing. And so at some point, this individual in whom Jesus is about to have a conversation with was mocking him and rivaling him and making comments as well. But something happened in regard to the man beside him. And so I want to draw our attention back to Luke 23, 39 through 42, because in it we see that something's happened. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." And so we have the one criminal now kind of rivaling Jesus and saying to Jesus, well, if you are who you say you are, save yourself and us now. But then the other criminal, the other thief on his other side responds differently than he responded earlier, according to Matthew. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he says to Jesus, this is totally different than the conversations that we were having before. He says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a dramatic change from somebody who was mocking and rivaling and making comments to, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Something happened. There's been a change. You would have to agree that the thief changed somewhere along the line. And so my curiosity says I need to begin to understand what happened here. Well, as you begin to think about it, I think it would be likely that this thief at some point probably heard about Jesus. If you didn't know, in this time frame, Jesus was a pretty popular guy. Everybody was talking about this Jesus who claimed to be the Son of God, who could raise the dead and give sight to the blind and so on and so forth. And so, Jesus was a household name. And so it's likely that this thief on the cross had probably heard of Jesus and the things that Jesus could do. But I think there's something even more powerful than that at play. Note, if you would, what he had just heard. Dave shared with you last week, Father, forgive them. While they were being crucified, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. We see that in Luke 32:34. And that statement comes before this conversation. And so in verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I believe that it was this prayer, this statement, that began to work on the heart of the thief. I want to share a quote with you from Kyle Eidemann on this very thought. And he says, Jesus did not pray for the wrath of God to fall on the resentful Jewish officials, the bloodthirsty crowd, or the callous Roman soldiers. He prayed that God would forgive them. My guess is something happened in the heart of the thief when he heard these words, and I would absolutely agree. The thief on the cross, the man beside him, just heard Jesus pray, Father, forgive them. He prayed that the Father would forgive the Jewish officials. He prayed that the Father would forgive the crowd. He prayed that the Father would forgive the Romans. The thief just witnessed a man who wasn't resentful or hurtful or desired revenge, but said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I think in the mind and the heart of the thief on the cross, He thought, if they can be forgiven, maybe I can too. All that they had done to Jesus, lied about Him, whipped Him, crucifying Him, if Jesus wants God to forgive them, I'm forgivable too. That'll change a man or a woman when we recognize that Jesus can forgive us. And I want all of us to know this morning, all of us gathered here at the church, those of you who are online this morning or will come online later this week, I want you to know that you can be forgiven. The cross is for all of us, no matter what we've done. And so we've noticed a change. But there's also, we also noticed that the thief did what no one else in this moment was doing. We find in Luke chapter 23, verse 40, that this thief on the cross was defending Jesus. We find he says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Changed. The thief, the man beside him, has changed. He's gone from mocking Jesus to recognizing the love and the grace and the forgiveness that Jesus has, and then he defends Jesus. Nobody else that was gathered around the cross that day defended Jesus except for the dying thief beside him. Change. The thief was changed by grace. Grace undeserved. All that he'd done wrong, this day, he woke up this day with no hope, with death on his mind. As he's being crucified, he goes from no hope to hope because of grace from the cross. He says to Jesus, Lord, remember me. And Jesus responds to him, this day you will be in paradise with me. I don't know that you can paint a more beautiful picture of grace than in this moment as a thief dying next to him. Doesn't sing about, isn't talking about, but experiences grace from the cross. What an amazing scene. How beautiful it is. And then there's a third thing I want us to recognize this morning in regard to the man beside him. And it's the thought of like the thief. we, as humans, are like the thief. No, this morning I'm not calling you a robber or a killer or any of that type of thing. But what we understand, the thief on the cross is an example of the all of humanity. Humanity, humans, all are broken by sin. Every one of us. The only difference between us and those that are unsaved is the grace that we found at the cross of Calvary. What Jesus did for us. Apart from Jesus, we'd still be sinners, we'd still be broken, and we'd still be on a path headed for hell. All of humanity is in need of grace. Saving grace. The grace that the thief on the cross experienced in his final moments. The very same grace that I hope that you've encountered today. Because you're serving Him. Because you've asked Him to forgive you. And so we too are like the thief. We have the promise of salvation, but have done nothing to deserve it. Yet, it's available to us, this grace from the cross. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift given to us by our Father in heaven through the shedding of His Son's blood at the cross of Calvary. Grace. And just like the thief, if we want to experience grace, the grace from the cross, we must come to Jesus. The thief on the cross recognized his only hope was in Jesus. I hope today, tomorrow, and the rest of our life is that we recognize that the only hope that we have is Jesus. As we continue in this Lent season, as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, we cannot forget the cross comes before the resurrection. It is what was done at the cross that brings salvation to the world. And it's the hope of the resurrection that's going to bring life to the believer. And so as we come to a close this morning, there is grace because of the cross. There's grace for the forgiveness of sin. There's grace to restore the human heart. There's grace to help us refocus on Christ this Easter season. There's grace to deliver us from bondage. Today, there's grace for whatever need is in our life. There's grace from the cross. Even if you're a dying thief with no hope. It amazes me that one of the last conversations, in fact, next to last conversation Jesus has, the next one's with His Father. He does say some things, in fact, seven things, as you know, from the cross. But other than his father, last conversation he has is with a thief. And I'm convinced if Jesus would impart grace to the thief on the cross, he will give us grace for whatever our need is in this time.